that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
All right, let's move on to the NFC Championship game. The Packers, who just beat the Seattle Seahawks, will face the 49ers. They'll be playing each other for the second time this season. The first time didn't go so well for Green Bay. Back in Week 12, San Fran beat them by 29 points, dominated from start to finish. But Niners head coach Kyle Shanahan says beating Green Bay in the regular season has, quote, zero relevance to the NFC Championship game. Chris Canty, is he right? Can you not compare the two?
Well, I think he's right in terms of the game looking different than it did back in Week 12. But the one takeaway that you can get from their regular season matchup was how your guys look against their guys.
Yep.
And I think that's the part.
Or most of their guys, because a lot of their guys were injured.
Well, Brian Bulaga didn't play the right tackle for the Green Bay Packers. And offensive line, that position group probably relies the most on continuity in terms of being able to collectively get their job done. And the strength of that 49ers team is their front seven. A lot of high draft picks, Nicky Bosa, Eric Armstead, DeForest Buckner, D. Ford, Solomon Thomas, they have a dominant defensive group. I think they were the only defensive line in football this year that had four rushers that had 6.5 sacks or more. So that is the strength of this 49ers team, and that's the part that Matt LaFleur has to be concerned with in looking at their first matchup. But the one thing that gave me a little bit of optimism for Green Bay going into this game is how they used Aaron Rodgers against the Seattle Seahawks. They got him out on the perimeter. They used a lot of swap boots to provide a target for him immediately in the flat off of the play fake. I think getting the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hand has to be a priority in this game just because you can't afford to give those 49ers pass rushers an opportunity to get to them. So I think if Matt LaFleur and that offensive staff put together a similar game plan in terms of getting the ball out of their quarterback's hands, they'll have a chance to be successful.
I understand what Kyle Shanahan's saying. I totally disagree with him because of exactly what Canty alluded to. There are certain games where you just throw out what happened in the past. You just throw it out and you say, that's not going to duplicate itself.
But we just saw Tennessee. We were talking about the Tennessee. And the
absolutely.
Chiefs.
And there's where it's like, okay, there's a defensive score. There's a blocked field goal. There's a muffed handling on a field goal. There's a lot of weird things that happened. There are certain games where, especially if it's about pass rush versus offensive line, you big people versus big people, and you say, well, what is going to change? And I've kind of backed myself into a corner a bit on this because you guys know very well my commitment to take integrity and pick integrity, which is I picked the Packers to go to the Super Bowl before the year, and they're one of four teams remaining, so I'll be damned if I'm abandoning it. With that said, the day after that football game, 37-8 San Francisco, we sat right here, and I said, I think the Packers can still make the Super Bowl. But they're going to need someone to beat San Francisco for them because it seemed like the San Francisco front four, and that was a game without D. Ford. You mentioned Bulaga didn't play, but neither did D. Ford for San Francisco. That front four seemed so overwhelming compared to the Packers' offensive line that Green Bay couldn't get into anything they wanted to do. They were 1 of 15. It was the worst game they played all year. Fewest yards, fewest points. Worst they were on third downs all year. 1 for 15 on third downs. It was a terrible game. So I don't think San Francisco is going to be that dominant as they were in the game 2 months ago because I don't think this game is going to be a blowout. But Green Bay better have been in the lab since then figuring out, are we going to have to do something to reference Seattle? That Seattle does a lot. Bring in a sixth offensive lineman. Are we going to have to do a lot of misdirection, screens, something to get that pass rush off balance off schedule? Because if that pass rush and front four has anything close to the effectiveness we saw in the regular season, Green Bay's drawing dead. I don't care how many times Jimmy Garoppolo throws it to the other team, he's going to throw it to Green Bay, and Green Bay's then going to go three and out. Because if you can't block these guys, and you mention how dominant the D-line's been statistically, And they're supposed to be.
Yep.
Nobody's put more resources into a defensive front than John Lynch in San Francisco since they've been there. This is how they built that team. That will determine whether or not Green Bay can stay in this game. Can you give Aaron Rodgers more than 2 seconds to scan the field and figure out who the ball is going to?
And can you provide some easy completions for Aaron Rodgers as well? That was one of the things that I thought Matt LaFleur did well in that game against the Seahawks. I mean, in that gotta-have-it situation right before the two-minute warning, that throw to Jimmy Graham, if you look at the formation that they built, it was 3-by-1, and they had the number 3 receiver clear out because they had press man coverage, and then they brought Jimmy Graham on a crosser, and it created a natural pick with the safety who was in coverage on him, and that's an easy pitch and catch. It was actually the play that they used on the first down in the game, third down of the game on their first possession. So you look at those types of things. If Matt LaFleur can throw in enough of that, some high percentage throws for Aaron Rodgers, get the ball out of his hands, move the pocket, move the launch point a little bit, I think they'll have a chance. Because let's face it, the quarterback on the other side of this matchup hasn't been a world beater this year in Jimmy Garoppolo. And if the Minnesota Vikings could do anything with the interception that Aaron Kendricks got right before halftime, you're probably talking about a different game in the second half, a game that's a little more competitive out there in the Bay Area this past weekend. So I think it's all about Green Bay being able to try to do enough in terms of making some easy throws for Aaron Rodgers, but then also when you get in those situations, relying on Aaron Rodgers' greatness to take you over the top, because clearly they have an advantage with the quarterback matchup.
But Kenny, quickly, also maybe a little psychological coaching by Kyle Shanahan to make sure his guys forget what happened. This is not going to be an easy game.
That's 100% what he's doing.
Right?
He wants to make sure that the guys have the requisite urgency and intensity that they have to have going into an NFC championship game.
Exactly.
Everybody has to do taxes, and yet not everybody feels comfortable doing taxes. That doesn't seem right, especially when you consider all the amazing things these same people accomplish every day of their lives. TurboTax believes that with the right tools and encouragement, people can be good at anything, even taxes. And to help people feel more comfortable with the tax process, TurboTax Live gives you personal access to experienced CPAs and EAs who are there for you, even on nights and weekends. They're happy to go through your return with you line by line to double check that you've done everything right so you can be sure to get your best possible refund and feel 100% confident in your taxes. TurboTax, all people are tax people.
Coach, is there a chance the Chiefs can actually pull off this upset? Or pull off the upset? The Titans can pull off the upset? Is there any way the Chiefs lose this game?
Yeah, there's absolutely a chance that they could lose this game. The Giant Killers are coming to town. They've been able to slay the dragon everywhere that they've gone. And it's the last time they played, they won. And they've won, what is it, 4 straight against Andy Reid? So there's a history here of them being able to beat the Chiefs. But more importantly, when you go and you look at the last game that they played, they did some creative things. They did some different things defensively. I thought that Dean Pease did a really nice job of mixing up the coverages. There was some 5-man zone pressures, mixture of cover 2. There was man-to-man. There were a lot of things that Mahomes had to think about, and they're going to have to do that again because, to Nick's point, this is a really hard offense to stop, not just because of the talent level, but because of the creativity, because of the way that they attack, the adjustments that they force you to make. So you are going to have to spin the Rolodex a little bit defensively. And the real question is, can they stop Derrick Henry? And last time, they couldn't. It was 188 yards, a big run for a touchdown. I think it was like 60-plus. Mm-hmm. You remember, right?
Yeah.
And then it's the mistakes. That last game, they got away with those mistakes. And I don't know if they're going to get away with the same mistakes against this team, which is really well coached and poised for the big upset.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know how much they got away with the mistakes because they were down 24-0 by the end of the first quarter, but they were just able to make enough plays from the second quarter and beyond to be able to come back in that game and actually take control of it. But, I mean, when you look at this Tennessee Titans team, I don't know that the pace of the game is going to allow the Kansas City Chiefs to overcome those types of mistakes that they had last week in the divisional round against the Texans. Just because Tennessee wants to grind this game to a halt, to me, that's their only real path to victory. Being able able to limit the number of possessions that the Kansas City Chiefs have. If you're talking about single-digit possessions, then I think that's advantage Titans, and they're going to have to rely on Derrick Henry and that offensive line, that running game, in order to be able to control the clock. Derrick Henry, what he's done the last three games, no player, no running back in NFL history has done. Over 180 yards in each of them, and that's really the big reason why this Tennessee Titans team is here. You're showing it, that third and one that he takes 66 yards and into the red zone, that was pretty much the death knell for the Baltimore Ravens. And of course, that Tennessee Titans offense, they took advantage of all the miscues that the Ravens presented. All of their points came off of turnovers from the Baltimore Ravens, whether it were true takeaways or turnovers on down. So the Kansas City Chiefs are going to have to play a much cleaner game if they are going to beat the Tennessee Titans. I think the Titans are the more physical team. I think the Chiefs have to make sure that they avoid all of those mistakes that they had in their first playoff game this year if they want to advance to the Super Bowl.
Can the Titans play better than they did against Baltimore? I don't think they can, and that wouldn't be good enough to beat the Chiefs. Scored 28 points. They played as well offensively as they can play. 28 points will not be enough to beat Kansas City. Not with the way the offense is clicking, not with the offensive line finally healthy, not with Patrick Mahomes finally healthy and the receiving core finally healthy. It simply won't be enough. And while the Titans, after, by the way, in week 15, losing a game to Houston with the division on the line, then going up 14-0 on New Orleans, only to have New Orleans come all the way back and beat them by double digits, they are on a really nice three-game stretch. And where Derrick Henry has been sensational. First player league history, three straight games, 180 yards rushing. No one's ever done it. And only as far as total yards rushing, Walter Payton in 77 and O.J. Simpson in 76 have had more total rushing yards over three games. With that said, in this three-game stretch, they have played the Texans backups, who had no downfield passing game, the New England Patriots, who have no downfield passing game, and the Baltimore Ravens, for as great as they were against quality competition all year, struggled with downfield passing game. Well, now you are playing the league's best downfield passing attack by a mile. The margin of difficulty for them defensively, everyone's talking about what Derrick Henry can do to the Chiefs' defense. I'm happy for him and I'm excited for him. Can he get six touchdowns? Because the Titans are going to need six touchdowns to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They needed four touchdowns plus a defensive score plus two botched field goals at the end to escape against Kansas City the first time in Patrick Mahomes' first game back off a dislocated kneecap, and Patty still went for 450 and a 120 passer rating. This is, the Titans have had a...
But why do you think Kansas City is going to be suddenly mistake-free? They made a mistake against the Titans last time, which resulted the fumble, which resulted in a touchdown. They had the two field goals blocked. They showed a history of mistakes last game. Yep. Why suddenly is this going to be the clean game?
Oh.
And do they have a downfield passing game? Yeah, they do have a downfield passing game. But there were drop passes last game that ideally would be caught this next game. I'm saying last game against the Titans that could have been huge plays. But there's nothing that says they won't do that again. What we've seen from Kansas City is them shoot themselves in the foot quite a bit. And you say that the downfield passing game in terms of Derrick Henry against the 26th best run defense could totally control this game and limit the opportunity.
Well, it's a couple things. One is, I'm not saying the Chiefs will play mistake-free. I mean, God, they could have a punt block for a touchdown. They could muff a punt themselves. They could have all those drops and then storm all the way back as they did against a team that was better than the Titans this year. In Houston, we saw it happen 2 days ago. But the Chiefs are not a turnover-prone team. Patrick Mahomes had five picks and two lost fumbles on the season. The Chiefs are not a team that what they did in the beginning of the game against Houston is par for the course for them. And one thing I think the Texans game showed Kansas City, which I am glad, if there were any remaining doubts, quit messing around trying to establish the run. It is not 1985, and you are not the team for it. There are certain teams, there are a few teams, San Francisco, Baltimore, Tennessee, that are built to do that. The Chiefs are built for the opposite. At this point for the Chiefs, except for in certain situations, a run play is a wasted play because you cannot match up with their speed. They have been built to beat teams like this. The one good thing that happened in the Texans game, Coach, was because they were down 24-0, they had to abandon in the run, and that's what led to the 51-7 onslaught. You just had a team do something that's never been done in the history of football. They are not then going to lose to a 9-win team at home for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. It's not going to happen, Canty.
Well, you say that. The one thing I would be concerned with that Chiefs offense is being able to block the interior of that Titans defensive front, because Daquan Jones, Jarrell Quasey, and Jeffrey Simmons played really, really well last week, collapsed the pocket, created quick pressure up the middle on Lamar Jackson. That's not something that Pat Mahomes wants to face all day, every day. And if you're talking about them not messing around with the run game and being one-dimensional, that's the risk you run, because your quarterback, for all the great things that Pat Mahomes is, when he gets knocked out, if he keeps getting hit, then that can present a problem in terms of your team being able to be explosive.
And aren't they 0-3 at home against Kansas City?
Against Tennessee.
And look here's the thing. I'll just say the league is littered with can't miss, can't lose teams.
Yep.
And
you've beaten
a few of those can't miss, can't lose teams. And I hope it works out for
Listen,
you.
And we remember all those because they're rare. You know who usually wins conference championship games at home as big favorites? The favorite. We remember the times that the 9-7 team went on the run because it almost never happens. The Titans aren't just close your eyes and imagine.
When's the last time it happened?
Can you imagine?
Because I just
Super Bowl 54
this
involving the Tennessee Titans. You can't, because it won't.
Last night, Joe Burrow put on a show to lead LSU to the national championship. However, some still believe that the other quarterback last night, Trevor Lawrence, will be better in the NFL. Canty, you in or out on Burrow being a better pro quarterback than Lawrence?
Jenna, I am out. I think Trevor Lawrence is the more talented quarterback, and I think he'll end up in a better situation. Joe Burrow's probably going to get drafted number one overall to the Cincinnati Bengals, and they're a historically bad organization. Good organizations develop their people. Bad organizations don't. The Bengals are bad. I don't think that Joe Burrow will have the best chance to realize his full potential there.
Yeah, good, bad organizations can become good organizations if you get a really good quarterback. I'm not sure how this is going to play out, but I do love the fact that this kid was able to throw 12 touchdowns in the playoffs, and I think that gives him a chance. You'd like to think that performance under pressure gives him a chance to be really good at the next level.
I think Joe Burrow's a fine prospect. If I had the number one pick of the draft the year Joe Burrow was the top quarterback, I'd be a little bummed. I'd be like, I'd want a guy like Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be a super duper star in this league. If next year, when he comes out, if I'm a team that needs a quarterback and I have the number two pick, I will offer you the old Ricky Williams deal. The number two pick and all the picks thereafter to move up one spot to get Sunshine. I think he's a franchise changer. I don't think Joe Burrow is that, even though Joe Burrow outdueled him last night. So I'm out.
Wow.
All right.
On
touchdowns isn't good enough for Nick. He got 15.
On to Drew Brees now. Right now, it's unclear if he'll return next season. The Saints also have decisions to make on their other quarterbacks, Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill. Can he win or out on Brees returning next season?
I'm out on it, Jenna. And Nick is talking about Tom Brady being done. I hope he keeps that same energy for Drew Brees, because if folks ain't paying attention, Drew Brees cost him an opportunity to advance, had the 2 turnovers in the divisional round or in the wild card round against the Minnesota Vikings. That is unacceptable. It's a couple of years in a row where turnovers by Drew Brees cost his team a chance to advance. I am out on Drew Brees being the Saints quarterback in 2020.
I am in on Drew Brees being the quarterback. I think that the experience that he has, the ability that he still has to put them in a position to compete for a championship every year. And I think there's a lot of things in New Orleans that could be a little bit better for them to get over that hump.
I'm in on Brees being back next year. The turnovers in the playoff game is a fair point, but over the totality of the season, you said he'd keep the same energy for Tom Brady. Over the totality of the season, Drew Brees was really, really good, while Tom Brady was not.
Drew Brees' backup was also really, really good,
too. That's fair enough. And they do have an obviously better succession plan to Bridgewater as opposed to Jared Stidham. I understand that. But Brees is younger, and Brees is still playing at a higher level than Tom, even if in back-to-back years in the playoff game, he hasn't been at his best. And by the way, Drew Brees ain't turning down them checks, man. He got those diamonds that aren't worth what he thought they were worth. They're going to offer him $30 million. He got to take that $30 million, man. Come on, Drew.
Maybe Stidham is a diamond in the rough, and we all don't know it yet.
Huh? Maybe.
The Chiefs
maybe.
Will... Okay, I got it.
Maybe.
I understand when you say maybe like that. The Chiefs will face a tough test Sunday when going up against Derrick Henry. In his last 3 games, Henry has nearly 600 rushing yards, 4 touchdowns. Canty, you win or out on the Chiefs being able to slow down Derrick Henry?
Jenna, I'm out on the Chiefs defense being able to slow down Derrick Henry. Now, maybe the Chiefs offense can, because if they put a lot of points on the scoreboard, then the Titans got to get away from the run game. But overall, the Titans are the more physical group up front, and Derrick Henry going downhill against your linebackers and defensive backs, that ain't a good recipe for success. So I am out on the Chiefs being able to slow him down.
Just let me check real quick. Yeah, I'm out as well. I don't know what Nick is going to classify slowing down Derrick Henry. He put up 188 last game, so I guess they hold him, what, 186? That'll be a better performance. I think he's gonna run all over him.
I'm in on the Chiefs being able to slow down Derrick Henry for two reasons. One is, the best way to slow him down is to jump out on him 17-0 and force them into a passing game, which I anticipate Kansas City will. Secondarily, Derrick Henry is sensational. Is he the greatest running back in the history of football? Because that is what he would need to be to have a fourth game like this. Only Walter Payton and O.J. Simpson have done what he's done over three games. Only those two guys have done what he would be doing if he goes for 150-plus over four games. At some point, especially because no time off, 32 carries, 34 carries, 30 carries over his last three games, he's going to slow himself down because of the natural wear and tear for all those reasons, and because the Titans are going to be playing catch-up. I'm in on this.
And Nick said he'd get a Derrick Henry tattoo if the Titans won the game.
Sure.
Will you?
Add it.
Giant one on your
problem.
Arm?
Where? No problem.
On his arm.
Okay. Coach, I got to be there for that.
On your shoulder.
Sure.
Okay.
Good. No done problem. Down Coach. In South Beach. First. You can get it done
no
down
problem.
There.
No problem.
Coach, thanks so much segment. For hanging out today.
It's a new year, the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. But finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter.com/FTF makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/FTF. That's ZipRecruiter.com/FTF. ZipRecruiter.com/FTF. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Play drawing a blank. So last night, Joe Burrow balled out to win the national championship for LSU. 6 touchdowns, pretty much universally considered to be going number one to the Bengals. So, Kenny, the number one pick in the 2020 draft should be blank.
It should be Joe Burrow. Now, I don't think he's the best player in the draft, but the team that's picking number one, the Bengals, they need quarterback help because they're probably going to move on from Andy Dalton. So, yeah, they absolutely should take Joe Burrow. Quarterback is the most important position, and he's had the best season of any quarterback in college football.
I agree. I'm going Joe Burrow also. He has leadership. I even like the story where he picked a fight with the defense when he first got there. That shows his integrity, just how he have a chip on his shoulder. Cincinnati needs this in their franchise right now. I'm going Joe Burrow.
I agree with you that they got to take a quarterback. I think Tua's the best. I take Tua Tagovailoa. I understand there are legitimate major injury concerns, but to me, Tua's upside is substantially higher than Joe Burrow's. Now, his downside is way lower. I get that. His downside is injury-riddled career never gets off the ground, and Burrow at the very least is going to be a long-term serviceable starter. Everyone disagrees with me on this. I don't see superstar from Joe Burrow. I see good NFL quarterback. I see superstar from Tua and the kid Trevor Lawrence. I see franchise-changing super-duper star. I just don't see that from Joe Burrow, despite his record-breaking season this year.
And the way they're protecting quarterbacks, Tua's got a shot even with
Absolutely.
Those injuries. All right, yesterday the Browns officially announced they hired Kevin Stefanski as their head coach. Now all 5 of the coaching vacancies across the league are filled. Kenny, the best NFL head coaching hire this offseason is blank.
I'm going with Mike McCarthy. McCarthy. The Dallas Cowboys moved away from Jason Garrett because they have championship aspirations. This will be the first head coach that they've had in the last decade and a half that's actually won a championship. I mean, so the last decade has been Jason Garrett, hasn't worked out. Mike McCarthy is a good coach. I mean, if you look at his record and Sean Payton's record, they got the same amount of losses, the same amount of Super Bowl wins, and Sean Payton only has six more wins in his career. So Mike McCarthy's still a good coach. I know the perception of who he is a little bit off because of how things ended in Green Bay, but I love this hire for the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm going Mike McCarthy for the same reasons. You know, he has Super Bowls, he has postseason experience, and the only knock that he had was he didn't give the ball to Rodgers when Rodgers wanted the ball. In Dallas, you want to feed Zeke in them four-minute drills. You want to feed Zeke and not gamble too much on the offensive side of the ball. So I think he fits Dallas or what he likes to do as an offensive mind, and I just think that's the best coach for the job.
Eric Bieniemy. Oh, wait, he didn't get a job. Ron Rivera is my answer. Ron Rivera is going to bring stability and toughness to an organization that desperately needs it. I think Ron Rivera did an excellent job in Carolina until Cam got hurt and the last season and a half went awry. Ron Rivera, to me, is the best of the people that did get hired. Eric Bieniemy would have been for the second straight year. He doesn't get hired, so he'll be the answer next year when he finally does get hired, hopefully.
The other guy that didn't get hired was Josh McDaniels.
Yep.
He was not hired as a head coach. He'll remain the Patriots offensive coordinator. And, of course, he's close to Tom Brady, so the foundation for Brady to return is still intact. Kenny, Brady's team next season will be blank.
Jenna, I think it's going to be the New England Patriots. He's not going anywhere. He'll probably survey his options and then look at what teams are willing to pay him and realize that the best situation for him, if he wants to continue his career, is to play in New England. This is somebody that's competed at a high level for a really long time. And the one thing that all of those people that do that, that have the opportunity to compete for championships, realize is that you need good people around you in order to accomplish that. I think Tom Brady he'll realize that once he looks at his options.
I'm going with the Patriots also, just because Josh McDaniels stayed, but only if they can find a weapon and that they can trade for, like an OBJ. I don't think they bring Tom Brady back and keep this same receiver core and tight end core from last year. I think they'll bring in a Teddy Bridgewater, somebody that's mobile and can make things happen and try to build from there. But I'd say the Patriots for right now.
The Chargers have been my pick on this for 3 months. There seems to be some momentum, a swell behind that. It makes too much sense. They need to sell tickets. They have great weapons. Phillip Rivers' time is over. I understand you're like, well, Phillip Rivers too old. Isn't Tom Brady too old? Nobody in Los Angeles right now cares about the Chargers. They're like seventh tier behind Lakers, Dodgers, USC football. You got to keep going down the
list.
Probably
the signs behind the Cowboys, the Giants in LA.
The Rams for sure. Right. And so the Chargers make too much sense. He owns a home out there. I think he could sell his family on it. For all those reasons, the Chargers have been my pick since November. I'm going to stick with it.
I thought you were going to say he can sell his family. I'm like, he's probably not going to do that. Didn't you think he was going to say that?
It sounded like he was going to.
Brandon, thanks so much for hanging out today. It's always fun. Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.